Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Project U Radio, which is a project of the Literary Underground, and it's March 22nd, and Project U Radio is Frankie Metro, Paul Corman Roberts, Michelle McDonald, who started the Literary Underground, and I'm Lynn Alexander. The number to call is always the same every week. It's 805-856-2808. Yeah, and you know, people always say, well, are we supposed to call in? Is it just for open mic? And, you know, it really doesn't matter. You can call any time, no matter what we're doing or not. You know, we talk quite a bit amongst ourselves, and we do a lot of that, too. You know, and there's also the on-demand section. Sometimes people don't realize that you can also download it as an MP3 for your preferred device, iPhone, whatever fancy gadget you happen to have. So you can listen to it that way online, or you can download it and listen to it at your leisure, except for Pat Simonelli, who's still using 8-tracks. Next week, we argue a little bit about Bukowski, his fans, his detractors, the myth, the man. His work, why people have such heated arguments about the guy, because people do, and we actually have rescheduled it. So that's the Cult of Buck show, which is March 29th at 11:30 Eastern. And also at redfez.net, the Red Fez site, you can see a rundown of shows now. Leopold did a pretty good job of putting up this feature, which sort of gathers a lot of the different radio shows in one spot. It includes the Draconian Vampire Tunnel with Frankie Metro, Red Fez Radio with Tim Murray, this show, which is Project U Radio. And my understanding, and I hope he will call and maybe say a little bit about it later on, is that Frank Reardon will be doing a show as well, and that's pretty cool if he ends up doing that. I'll let him say what he wants about that. You know, we kind of try to be eclectic over here, sort of a mix of topic shows, open mic, guests, sound experiments, all kinds of different things. We just sort of throw it all in there. But one of the things that we'll be adding to the spectral ganglia segments, which are sort of an open mic reading, kind of a catch-all, I don't know, audience participation type of thing, is sort of this idea of spontaneous poetry, poetic voyeurism, street poetry, overheard things, you know, just things you might hear when you're kind of hanging out working and you have a notebook in your hand. I don't know about you, but I write a lot of things down. And the other day I was talking to Lindsay Thomas about it. And, you know, she kind of shares my fascination with this kind of this sort of poetic voyeurism. We're looking for ways to sort of include some of that in Project U Radio. One of the things you can do, I mean, I do this, and it's kind of a crazy idea, is sort of get yourself a notebook and put it somewhere where people can just spontaneously scribe, you know, just sort of write things down. And then anytime you feel like calling and sharing any of it, and actually somebody did. This is by Mona Meringue, and this is called Fat Free. So this sort of gives you an example of what we're talking about. Why snack foods have evolved to zero trans fat. The government is cracking down. Trans fat is bad. We encourage restaurants to be mindful of healthy guidelines. The government will bring virtue to our foods. Let me ask you, do you know what you are supposed to do if they don't tell you? High fructose corn syrup, the competitions of corn, fat-free angel food cake you can top with berries. It's just a serving suggestion. Good and Plenty fat-free candy Wonder Bread, perfect for classic sandwiches. Their buns are perfect grilling partners. Mono and diglycerides, mononitrate, ferrous sulfate, and lecithin. And I don't know. It's a little bit of nutritional labeling if you're into that sort of thing, which, you know. So I am actually picking up my call here, and I don't know. I have a little bit of hesitation because, you know, sometimes you don't know. Sometimes, you know, you get different ghosts. You get different people that call up and, you know, you don't know what they're going to say. So, hello, how are you tonight?
Hello?
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 Hi. You sound like you're, you know, maybe confused. This is Project U Radio, and we are, you know, it's a web show. It's streaming online. It's not, you know, I mean, it's not like Ryan Seacrest. I mean, we don't have a following of screaming little girls, but
yeah. That's too bad. He's I like that Ryan Seacrest quite a bit. He's very attractive. He's a very attractive young man.
If you like that sort of thing, if you're a fan of that particular, well, there's nothing wrong with the guy. You know, he certainly is articulate.
Yeah,
I guess.
Well, that's not really what I find intriguing about him. If you want, you know, he's very sold to the death culture, you know. But it's a shame that such a good-looking young man is so sold to the death culture. But you know,
perhaps he
can be rescued from that.
Well, if you had your druthers, would you attempt to rescue him? Like, suppose you were at a retreat, you know, maybe in Colorado somewhere, and you were, you know, kind of, you know, in one of those retreat scenarios where you sort of had this, like, real one-on-one connection time. I mean, do you think that you could use the power of words, the power of, you know, your inspiring, you know, ability to connect. Do you think that you could reach out to somebody like that and bring them to the hippie side?
Oh, well, yeah, something like that. Well, sure, Colorado's a great place for that. A lot of people should come out to Boulder. We have the school there, the Jack Kerouac School of Disembodied Poetics, and I think
I've heard of that.
I think if Ryan Seacrest came to that particular institution, it would open up his mind. It would expand his boundaries in ways that he may not have considered before.
What do you think it is about Colorado in particular that seems to do that? I mean, do you think it's the mountains? Do you think it's like the thin air? Do you think it's the ski opportunities, you know, industry and, you know, the hospitality industry, I mean, jobs. What do you think? What do you think is so moving about the state?
They're skiing there?
Well, I've never been there actually, so I'm just sort of going by. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't really leave Boulder very much these days. I like to spend my time at the school. I founded the school. I founded the Jack Kerouac School of Disembodied Poetics. I think everyone should come there at some time or to study with Rinpoche. It would be a good experience. It would certainly be a good experience for Ryan Seacrest.
Do you think that if he went to a place like that, do you think he would go in, you know, as a sort of a host of one of these shows? I guess he does American Idol. I'm not really a fan of some of these things, but do you think he would emerge as a poet? Like, could he transform in that way?
How could anybody not transform or transcend? I think transcendence is what we all strive for. I think that's what Ryan would strive for. He would begin to understand that is something that he could work towards. and you know, it's he's he's so beautiful, such a beautiful young man.
You sound a little bit sedate.
Excuse me?
You sound a little bit sedated. You sound a little bit like you're. Are you fatigued? Are you? You know, I'm just reaching out to you. You know, I'm just reaching out. You know.
Well, I've been smoking a lot of pot tonight. You know, and I don't normally smoke a ton of pot. It's really not my thing. But my partner Peter has quite a bit of it. He went out and got some, and I really wish he hadn't done that. But now it's here. Now it's just all over the place, and everybody's smoke. You know, when in Boulder, do as the Boulderians do. You know, and that's I sometimes you can't fight these things, and you have to go with the collective paradigm.
The collective paradigm. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with Frank Reardon's proposal. He'd like to do a radio show, Your Mother's Medicine Cabinet radio series, and he's going to be interviewing people. And, I mean, if he were to approach you, you know, on a corner or something, and, you know, to sort of solicit you to answer questions, I mean, do you think that you would appear on his show?
Well, I would be very concerned about the kind of medicine in his mother's cabinet. That would not be. I'm not very trusting of the types of substances found in medicine cabinets. They're very harmful. They're products of big pharma.
Big farm.
It's not. I don't find that conducive to the poetic process myself. That's, you know, I find meditation to be a much preferable approach to creating the poetic lyric. And but, you know, if Mr. Reardon wants to do a radio show, more power to him. More power to him.
No, I agree. I think it would be interesting.
I would just hope that, you know, he would find a way to, come to the Jack Kerouac School of Disembodied Poetics, and maybe he could broadcast from there, and from the riches that he makes from the advertising from his radio show, he could make a generous donation to our school, because, you know, it's very difficult to run a college. It's very expensive. I don't know if you knew that.
I don't know anything. In fact, I actually pride myself on you know, knowing as little about those matters as possible. Because it's very difficult for me to really get my head into the commercial side of it, the profit side of it. Yeah. What do you think of this poetic voyeurism thing? Because this is, you know, I know that you called accidentally to our show, and I do appreciate that you're talking to me about it, but this idea of, you know, sharing things that are overheard or written down. I mean, some people would say, well, you know what, that's not a poem. A poem is something that is carefully crafted with skill, you know, and with a specific set of tools, and you don't just take a bunch of words or text or the back of a milk carton and try to, you know, put that off as anything. But then there's this other side, this other contingent that sort of says, you know what, everything around us is, you know, the poem is found on boxes, you know, on the backs of buses, in conversations, in whispers, in the vampire tunnel. You know, it's they're everywhere, and it's really just a matter of being almost a curator of words.
You know, I think it's very much in the moment. You know, I'm the founder of a movement called First Thought, Best Thought, and I suppose that if the words that you find are to be found on milk cartons or buses or these signs that are everywhere, you know, if those are synchronous with first thought, best thought, then maybe there's a chance those are, can be considered poetry, but not until they've been subverted towards the larger vision of the poetic genius.
I see. You know, the funny thing about this whole first thought, best thought, you know, you should just sort of go with your natural linguistic mojo and just sort of, you know, the thing is that a lot of people that are associated with some of that thinking, that school of thought, were people who did in fact revise and edit and go back and make a lot of changes. And so this whole idea, I mean, they didn't exactly put everything out there in this raw state. So is it a case of...
You weren't supposed to tell anyone. Now everybody knows.
Well, I think in some cases it's common knowledge. I mean, there are people that have had... I mean, you know, we don't know. We certainly don't always... I mean, we don't know a person's creative process. You know, sometimes we go by what they tell us. But do you think that... You know, does it ring true, though, that, I mean, do you think that a lot of people that sort of put that out there are people that tend to follow it themselves?
You just won't stop, will you? You just have to keep digging and digging and digging because you're on your search, you're on your quest for some sort of process that really... You can't really refine, you can't really understand in a way unless you enroll at the Jack Kerouac School of Disembodied Poetics, because it's there that we can really get to the nitty-gritty of this. These are not things that you want to discuss publicly. This is not conducive to the poetic process.
But do you think, though, the problem, and I have nothing against any particular school, I have nothing against academics, I have nothing against, I mean, higher learning at all. I mean, I like to think that I've had benefits of college and different things, and I was very fortunate to have that. But, you know, do you, what about this idea, though, that there are these barriers, you know, sort of that, you know, it becomes stratified, you know, that there are sort of the poets that are from the school of hard knocks, that, and then there are people that have been, you know, sort of gifted with this ability to take advantage of opportunities. I mean, how many people can just, you know, pick up and, you know, unfortunately, education is a very practical choice for a lot of people. You know, you sit down and you say, gee, I'll become, you know, a psychologist or something so that I can, you know, pay for housing and things. You know, it's certainly very difficult, and you have to be in a certain place, I would imagine, financially and, circumstantially to sort of pick up and go and, you know, explore your poetic process for 2 or 3 years. I mean, how many people can do that, I think?
Well, we do have financial aid. That helps.
Oh, okay.
You know,
yeah.
I just don't think a lot of people who make those kind of choices are really thinking about, or they're really clinging to something else. You know, hang-ups from the death culture that are imbued into us from the time that we're very, very young. And I think there has to be a breakthrough where you begin to understand that there has to be another way and another path. They haven't really taken that journey inside the self. You to understand what their role in the larger cosmos is, and that's where and certainly everybody has to get there at their own pace. I'm very supportive of that. I am, but you need specific guides. There are certain spirit personalities that are more suited to helping people with that journey. And I don't know that there are those types of personalities are found in, you know, as you say, the traditional academia. You have to be able to let go. You have to be able to let go, and you have to be able to willing to take that journey inside.
I'm sorry, I think I was dozing. Oh, you know
what? That's the first step. That's the first step.
But only because you put me in such a state of, you know, relaxation. You know, I hate to do this because I do realize that, you know, you know. But could you stay on while I pick up 937, because I would very much like to, you know, I'm sorry, I missed a lot of what you said because I was sort of zoning out there.
Are you the representative from Spray On Hair Company?
I'm not. But
Peter,
you know,
wanted
what?
Me to call. He thought we've been having problems lately, Peter and I, and you know, I just feel like I don't like to. But if I've had maybe more hair on my head, he would be more attracted to me. And I was hoping I could order some of the I thought this number was for spray on hair.
Well, it's not, but you know, they can pretty much put the aerosol into anything nowadays. I wonder if 937 is interested in spray on hair products.
Oh my God, I'm perspiring from beneath my armpit.
You're perspiring from beneath your armpit.
Yeah.
Right.
That's attractive.
It's inspiring a poem. Give me a moment.
Wait, perspiring or inspiring?
Perspiring from my armpits inspires poetry. Poetry. Poetry is everywhere. It's everything.
Everywhere, even. So you excrete.
I excrete poetry from every orifice in my body, in every pore, and I'm
every
feeling
pore.
The inspiration right now.
Which orifice
Boulder?
God.
Sir, do you live in Boulder? Our Alan would like to know. Or I don't know. You never told me your name. I really don't know.
Perhaps I was speculating. You knew.
My inspiration. My name's Sebastian.
Sebastian.
You guys. I think I see a poem right now. Actually,
I think in front of you.
Yeah, I see it. On a piece of paper from the Honor Society of Nursing. It's just a piece of paper that came in the mail. I feel like
do you want to read it?
I do, like a poem.
I think you should read something. Do you have any?
I'm perspiring. Poetry's everywhere. It's really. It is. I'm having a hard time breathing tonight, but yeah.
Yeah, it's a little hard to hear you. I have to say, you know, but that's cool. Maybe you could read something in your kitchen. Do you have a kitchen?
No, I live in an efficiency.
They have what, kitchenettes? What are they? They're like a sink. Do you have any cereal of any kind?
I have a bidet. I have a bidet.
You have a bidet in an efficiency?
Yes. I wash my hands in my hair. And my testicles in it. I got to read a poem from a letter I received in the mail.
Okay.
As a member, I have personally considered my introduction into the Honor Society as one of the most important highlights of my nursing career. And I encourage you to accept this invitation to join. We look forward to you being a part of our chapter. You belong here, the Honor Society of Nursing, Sigma Theta Tau International. We hope you, your friends and family, will be able to join us for this introduction ceremony on April 1st. There is no additional charge to bring children age 12
there is.
And under. End poem.
That's amazing. I found that the most striking part was the line about no additional charge. I feel like that really was the crux of the piece, you know, because there's an expectation that there's a societal penalty for, you know, you just expect it.
But did it make your nipples hard?
Did it make me a little hard?
God damn it!
Yeah. That's. I would say so. Yes. I wonder if our.
And you say that poem came from your orifice?
Poetry. I'm oozing poetry by the minute. That one.
I believe
in the mail.
It was a piece of mail. It was a piece of mail.
You know, sometimes it's important that you wash it off. Sometimes if it builds up too much on the skin, it consolidates and it can be it can turn into a growth. You can get a fungus from that. You should wash that off.
Don't you think you should save everything? Aren't you one of those people that think
we call that smegma.
Sacred.
Can women get smegma?
I've had many lovers who felt just that way.
Yes, lovers. I've had many of those. They all write
poetry. You?
Yes.
I see. Well, what do you think of the idea of honor societies? I mean, do you think they're elitist? Do you think that it rewards, academic excellence and recognizes what?
Oh, I think they're a bunch of elitist assholes.
You do?
I'd never join one. I frown upon education.
I frown upon the cost, certainly, but yeah. What do you think of this idea of poetic voyeurism? That's sort of our thing, you know. We're sort of looking for it, and we're not just looking. I mean, looking for it from, you know, people that don't necessarily identify themselves as writers. Even conversations. I mean. Yeah, what do you think of that? What do you think of transcribing the words of other people?
Do you
think that's violating?
Every day. No, it's art. Art. Everything is art. And that.
Everything.
Yes.
Oh, please.
Even conversation.
So much bullshit. That is such. I don't like to watch myself. I prefer to participate.
You're an exhibitionist, eh? I'm definitely the voyeur.
You know, it's
hard,
very,
but...
Oh, you should definitely come to Boulder.
Yes, I heard Boulder's all the rage when it comes to voyeurism and exhibitionism.
I find it very invigorating when others are watching.
I think that you guys should come to Zyfez in July, and I know you're not familiar. The two of you have absolutely no idea what I'm referring to, but it's a festival. There's this guy, Brian, who has a press, Tainted Coffee, which one of the online presence, and you know, he does books and things. Is Zygote in My Coffee, and he sort of partnered up with Red Fez, and so that's going to be a big event in July. You know, people flying in from everywhere, and you know, maybe you guys could, come on to the Bay Area. What do you think?
Oh yeah, that sounds really great. I love the Bay Area. I own a home there, actually. But I just, and I would love to, you know, I love to participate in all of the new scenes that are going on. I think that's really fantastic. I just, I would need to know how much I would get paid to do that.
What do you think, our caller with the wonderful male from the nursing school? Sebastian, right?
I try to be very reasonable.
Why do you call it the gay area? What's that supposed to mean? The gay area? What are you implying? Because I'm English?
Well, I'm not saying that you're one thing or another. I don't want to get hung up in labels. You know, I don't think that's a good mindset, especially for a young aspiring poet such as yourself. You need to be less hung up, man. That's really what it comes down to. It's okay to be gay. It is. I'm gay. I especially love young men, very young men. You sound like a very young man. You should come out in so many ways, on every level.
And come out to the East Bay for ZyFez, the Zy Festival, which will be in July.
East Bay.
Right after the 4th
Berkeley,
of July.
Right? Berkeley?
Berkeley. Well, in Oakland area, yeah, that whole little, you know.
I don't know about Oakland. It's very chouf there, you know?
I really like
San Francisco. If I'm in San Francisco or Berkeley, I feel a lot more comfortable. That's, you know, I'm very reasonable. I can cut you a deal. I can read for no more than $2,500. That's all
for
I
how
need.
Much?
Or a generous donation to the Jack Kerouac School of Disembodied Poetics.
My question is, will there be pony rides at this festival?
Well,
pony
you know
rides,
what? We're looking at some sponsorship and, you know, opportunities. And you know what? If there's a way to have ponies, that would be cool. What if we pick up a caller, because I think that we can certainly maybe change topic a little bit, and I think I know who this is. I think this is Dawn, am I correct? I thought he was on. I thought it was Don Hagelberg. Hello. I hope we didn't miss him. I don't know. You know, this switchboard.
Are you there?
I am here. I'm sorry about that. How are you this evening?
This is the Don.
How are you?
Lynn.
Yes, we were...
I was going to make an offer to you that you cannot resist.
You know what? It's funny. I was just thinking about you because we were just talking about a few events out in Berkeley and Oakland in July, and I hope I can see you again out there. It was great to see you last time I was out there. I'll get in touch with you about that and give you some details. But how have you been?
Fairly well, aside from this phony Italian accent.
Well, you know, we're
But how
we're
is it Don
particular.
Supposed to get to, how is it Don supposed to be understood unless he speaks with a cut throat and an Italian accent?
Right. Well, you know, we're not particular with our accents, certainly, on this show. So I think you do a pretty good job, I have to say. We have Sebastian and Alan on this evening, and they've been covering a lot of ground from nursing school honor society letters to higher education. So, yeah.
This
we're
is
all
nice.
Over the place.
This is good.
Dawn, I've got to ask you. You like pony rides, Dawn? Do you like to ride ponies?
I do, say. I don't know what that means.
He's
like
he's interested in a petting zoo, I think. Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, that's sort of what happens when we say that we're freewheeling and anything goes. We really do mean that from the bottom of our dysfunctional hearts. It's all good. So, you know what? I hope you're reading something for us this evening, because I'm always happy when you do.
Well, I'll look at. I'm looking here at. I don't know if I've read this one before. It's called. For those of you who know, does this sound familiar?
No, I don't believe so. But you know what? It's fine anyway. I mean, it would be great to hear. But I don't think so.
I'd rather ride a pony, Dawn. But go ahead.
For those of you who know, for Martha. For those of you who know that I'm an alcoholic, an addict, and a fornicator. For those of you who know that I have not picked up a drink, a drug, a cigarette, or a woman from International Boulevard in Oakland for close to 30 years. For those of you who know that I am an American, and as such, I lie, I cheat, I steal, I kill. For those of you who know that the older I get, the more tired I become from doing these things when walking. I need a battery-powered wheelchair. For those of you who know that some days I must pause, then stumble through a dark tunnel of mental illness in order to live underground for that day. For those of you who know that I must ask you, what ingredients baked inside you to plump you up so compassionate and forgiving and rivet love like a stop sign onto one of my poles, which tells both drivers and driven to pay attention to the law and H-A-L. T. For those of you who know that art tells a lie, and art's lie concocts truer than all the weekday sales receipts. So, does this poem lie, or does it leave you simply exhausted? A two squeezed out tube of toothpaste, all brushed and polished for life at night. End text.
Thank you. I mean, I know I always say this, but I love your voice. I love your reading voice, but I also, there's a lot in there. As far as adversity and going through, I mean, addiction, going through, health issues and everything. I mean, I think it's very hard to, I met you, so I think that's I know how well you read in person, and I know how well you read when you call in. But I just feel like when you read, I get kind of quiet, and I get in sort of a zone. I mean, it's particularly the part about that baked within kind of idea, I have to say I like the toothpaste. Analogy, and it's always I do not believe I've heard that. I thought that I had heard something similar to it, but no, I don't think that we've had that on the show.
A lot of my poetry has to do with addiction, and then boldly stating that I'm an addict, but I don't do it anymore. And that I do because there are three avenues for people who are addicted. There is with God, Alcoholics Anonymous, who cares about God, secular organizations for sobriety, and there is no God, rational recovery. But all three approaches deal with keeping a person who is addicted, keeping a person who was addicted off of their substance, and this is important. And if I can act as a relay point to get information or succor or whatever else I can give, then I want to be available. Because people like Raymond Carver were important in my life. And even though he was still using slushies, at least he had put the alcohol away. So he was, in like 10, 11 years, he was away from alcohol, and this was very important. And because he made it public and was a resource, he helped a lot of people. So what I do is pay back and pay ahead. Thanks for the agitprop.
And I think for a lot of people, it really is something that they have to close the door on and not open up. You know, there are people that say, well, you know, I can go back and I can, you know, I think for some people, they really do have to swear it off for good permanently and not go back. And I know you need a lot of support to do that, you know, a lot of, you know, people
especially
in your life.
Especially when you're beginning to alter your life. If you don't have the support, then some people can say, I quit and walk away from it. I'm not interested in those type of people because they can and do. What I'm interested in is the person who says, I can quit anytime I want, and then doesn't quit, even though they recognize, they acknowledge that something is wrong in my life. I wonder if, and then don't follow where that answer leads them.
Right. I think that's true. And I think that, and it's very tragic for a lot of people because they, you know, they don't, unfortunately, they don't move toward recovery and they don't make the changes I think that they need to. I mean, it really is, you know, all aspects of your life. I mean, as you know, addiction becomes, it becomes so much a part of a person's, you know, waking hours. I just, it's very difficult. And, you know, I mean, I give people a lot of credit that are able to walk away from it and maintain their sobriety and maintain their basically recover and get their health back and their lives back and are able to sort of climb out from under it because it's just so difficult. So, I mean, I think it's you know, great that you reach out to people in that way and in an honest way, you know. I'm always glad when you call. And like I said, I do hope that I hope that I see you out there. That's the week after, the weekend after the 4th of July. There's going to be all kinds of things going on out there. The Beast Crawl, which is sort of a lit crawl in the East Bay, and, you know, gosh, all kinds of readings and things. So I will let you know about all of that and, you know, keep you up to date. Yeah. Did you want to read another one or sign off? I know you usually, but you're welcome to if you want to read something else or next time, up to you.
Let me try this one four liner. This is called The Rent Was Due. It's dedicated for all ex-spouses.
Mm-hmm.
I have finally evicted you from those rooms in my mind in which you sat on your heels, squatting, not paying me rent.
That's great. I mean, I think it really speaks to the idea of people that take in a relationship and are not able to give, really. No, I like that one. I mean, I like your stuff, and like I said, I'm always glad when you call in, and I think you have a wonderful reading voice. And this has been a very very strange show. Sebastian.
I would have to concur. He has a great voice. I love your accent. Where are you from, originally?
Born Massachusetts, raised in Berkeley.
I thought I detected a bit of that New England.
A bit of New England in there.
I don't say Boston.
You don't.
Much.
I was thinking about that.
Park the car too often. But once in a while,
Thank you, Don. Those were really beautiful poems, Don. I really appreciate you sharing those with us.
My goodness,
you're clear.
Thank you.
I know what it is to have to recognize and be conscious of attachment and not be able to let go of attachment, and particularly, you know, sometimes I feel like I've let Gregory Corso rent space in my mind I meant to rent it to him, but then he took advantage. You know, Gregory always took advantage of me, and he could just be such a son of a bitch sometimes, that man. But I feel that really spoke to me, and I thought that was really fine work.
That's appreciated very much.
I'd rather be riding a pony, but
of course you would.
Fine.
Don't you feel that you're overly attached to your pony? Don't you feel like it's an attachment that you would benefit to let go of in your consciousness?
He needs to evict the pony.
There is only one answer he can give.
Right.
I feel more attached to my colon than anything. My left colon.
Your colon?
That's not...
And my semicolon.
But that's a part of your inner consciousness, Sebastian. It's okay to embrace that.
This poetry has made me lose my nipple erection.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, that's one of the things. You never know what you will hear on this radio situation that we have every week, and we do this every week, and it's 11:30 Eastern, and we've been doing Project U Radio for a while now, and like I say, you never really know what will happen and what will go down. So, and I do appreciate that you guys are, you know, your willingness to participate in it, you know, the madness, I guess.
Thank you,
Sebastian.
I do have more poetry I'd like to read whenever I could get the chance to. I could re-stimulate my nipples.
Sebastian would like to read something. That's wonderful. Go ahead, Sebastian.
Do I have enough time?
Go ahead, whenever you're ready.
I have a poem that one of my graduate students wrote.
Okay, sure. If Sebastian doesn't mind yielding his option here.
Go ahead. Step on my toes.
I'm here for you. I think if you just open yourself to this, that you will truly find that your stimulation on a holistic level will really come through. And so I don't know, these graduate students, they don't even try anymore. It's they just feel like they can get financial aid, and they go ahead and they think they can do anything. But this one's called The Corpse Commissioned Under the Auspices of Audre Lorde. Audre, yes, but nobody told me there would be days like these, said John Lennon. Ain't it time you should have got a bagel for a new deal? 6,000 years of Judaic tradition can't be all wrong. I like it when strippers extrapolate. Yes, the Oracle of Delphi. Locks. Oh no, not Eno. You! Now available for easy installation in rumpus rooms all across the bulging vegan beltway. Scum! Syntax, semantics, pragmatics. All hail hermeneutic. Modicum is a two gay word. The senior dean sounds like, oh, Jesus, like he is getting off myspace.com. She is the Antichrist. No, I am my email. That was, pastry, the worst fucking speech. Worse, well, I've heard it by LSDT I've ever heard. It's the Reg Office, Mitches. I'd just like to say a new kind of LSD for anteating. Now, what were we just sold? The Night Dean presents. She's touching herself every time. That dark amber. All male prison review. Resonance groans out of its mold, redwooding from within. The amber is poison. It will kill us. Is she related to Tommy Chong? Did you see the look on her face when the senior advisor entered rim, electard stew into himself? It waters like a vicious Escher fall. Number nine, before the redesign of rain, we must drain our own moats before sharing the fire and the flow. Number nine, we must address the gnomes squatting out by the berry bush and the washed-out burl. Number nine, before inhabiting the shining ecosystem on the horizon, we must acknowledge the inner key ringing. One rock, many ripples.
Well done, sir. I particularly like the gnome by the berry bush, as I'm sure that really spoke to Sebastian.
I just wish my graduate students wouldn't do so many drugs. I know they're doing a lot of drugs, and I know that they're writing this stuff under the influence. And I wrote things under the influence of drugs myself at one time. Mescaline, LSD, methamphetamines, and it's just all attachment. It's all attachment. And it's, I don't know. They need to. That's why I don't know. I don't know if they're going to graduate. I don't know if they'll graduate.
Sure, they'll land on their feet to a certain extent. I think Sebastian is interested in reading something.
That poem made me feel like a piece of.
Sebastian, did your nipples get hard?
No.
Are you exploring your chocolate starfish?
No, I don't.
He's getting a bit like Phyllis.
Oh, Phyllis. Oh, what a lover she is.
Sebastian, do you know Phyllis? Phyllis Miller?
No, I'm not familiar with it. No, I'm going to read my goddamn poem.
Okay.
Before I have a fucking aneurysm. It's got to come out. This poem I found in an activities guide. Here it goes. The title of this one is Exercise Goal Setting. Do you need help with your workout program? Sign up now for a reorientation. Our professional certified staff will help you with your goal setting and your exercise program. This service is free to annual fitness room app holders. Call blank 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 557. And free Friday group exercise classes. Come and join us the first Friday of every month for all free aerobics day. If you haven't ever been to an aerobics class, but I've always wanted to check it out, This is your chance on the first Friday of every month. Ding pong! It makes me want to call every time I read it.
Oh my goodness. It's okay,
oh,
Sebastian.
My nipples
you're,
are
you're among friends.
My nipples are hard, yes. Just
have to be they're probably getting chafed at this point. I mean, they're like in a constant state of erection.
No.
I mean, they're
no. I'm shirtless right now. I would
okay, so you don't
without a shirt on. I don't read poetry with my shirt on.
You know, I'm just feeling very violated by this whole experience of calling in. All I wanted to do was order some spray-on hair so I could be more attractive to my partner, and I've just been exposed to this free association, or I guess I don't know what this is. It's definitely not first thought, best thought, and that's I just feel very violated.
Well, it's, you know, it's free-form radio. It's, you know, we just have a little bit of everything on here. You know, sometimes we've got ponies and sometimes we don't. And, you know.
The fucking guy, Alan, is a joke. Alan? What a joke. God.
I'm not sure if he's a joke.
I don't really have a very good sense of humor. I don't really appreciate you. I'm a very serious poet.
You don't think I'm fucking serious? I'm English, goddammit.
Well, you know, I think, you know, well, you dress up in women's clothes, right, Sebastian?
No, I've got, but I do have hair down to my shoulders. And it's golden.
It's golden?
I've lost a Brady. At least 99.
Oh, no, my nipples are getting hard.
Oh, no. You two need to maybe, I don't know, become like Facebook friends or something. You know, whatever people do.
No,
you know,
fucking bloody way.
You could,
this
like,
Alan guy.
He could really hot. You could just, you know, poke each other on there and, you know, post witty quotes and things and and like them and then reciprocate and it could be like the start of a beautiful thing.
That's all I've seen on Facebook is post quotes from other people because it's so goddamn trendy and cool.
I've never put up a quote. And I really don't put up song lyrics, and I don't put up really anything. I don't even remember to put updates. I don't ever do that either, but one of those things. You know, because nobody cares. Like, I don't think, I feel like there's nothing I really have to post very often. I mean, I don't put, like, what I had for dinner or whatever on there, you know.
I always post my dinner, my breakfast, my lunch, and my bowel movements. It's
important
to my art.
Right. No, I mean, hey.
And this is all contained in a book?
Yes, books.
It's a
poetry.
Book, yeah.
Everything
well, we,
poetry.
We've got, and unfortunately, we've only got about 40 seconds left, and I do apologize for that because, you know, I know that, you know, this is, some of you have reached us by accident, and so that's, now, that's cosmic. You know, next week I did mention that we are doing our rescheduled Bukowski show, which is sort of, you know, the point of it is not to argue, although arguing seems to happen, but to sort of talk about why we argue, like what there is about him that is so, you know, that gets people so upset with one another and, you know, you know, I think it's kind of a fascinating sort of, you know, situation. But yeah, so that's what we're going to do next week. We're going to sort of take a look at what some of the issues are. Some people mentioned, you know, attitudes toward women, attitudes toward, you know, all kinds of things. So that's next week, and I do appreciate you guys calling up and spending the time with me. And that's it
for
tonight.
How long before my hairspray arrives? My spray-on hair arrives?
I would say 6 to 8 weeks. You can expect that product in an unmarked, discreet paper package.
I think Peter's going to leave me in that time if I have to wait that long.